Okay. All right. I guess so we're starting.
Okay.
Jesus. What? Professionals. Before we get into everything, like usual, I ask you to do a couple things. First, head over to Facebook, like the page, share the page, comment on the page. Then head over to Twitter and follow us at our Twitter handle, which is
@comesnaturalpod.
And you can comment on stuff and ask us questions that we may not answer. And then from there, head over to iTunes and rate and review the show there. Subscribe to it to get free. Automatically download it every Friday when it comes out on the internets. And yeah, that's it for the stuff we ask you to do. Otherwise, the only other thing is sit back and listen to this here podcast, which is Comes Naturally. And we are
Joe.
And I'm Cody. Welcome to this week's episode, everybody. Welcome.
Yeah.
Ugh, gross.
What? I said yeah.
Yeah, you sure did. Sure did.
I don't know what you were thinking of.
Thinking about Wonder Woman!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic
so
movie.
We all saw it on Thursday night. I was going to say Sunday, but that's incorrect.
Yeah, we didn't go to the movies on Sunday night because somebody had to work.
Shut your fucking mouth, Mike. Yeah, no, the movie's fantastic. I don't know if I have any real gripes about it. The only thing that threw me off was the animation choice for the back telling of the origins of the Amazons and Themyscira. That was a really weird way of doing it.
Yeah, but it made sense to me within the movie. It didn't bother me at all.
Yeah, I just don't the animation way they did it. Not how they told the story, but the animation they used to tell the story. I mean, you don't want to be cartoonish, I guess.
Nah.
But I don't know, whatever. Like I said, there's not much I can really say about it, other than the fact that I didn't see a Justice League trailer beforehand, which
you had a lot to say about that.
I did have a lot to say about that.
Because you went and saw this movie, what, three times?
Twice.
Twice.
Almost saw it three times, but we didn't go on Sunday because early Monday mornings and all.
Yeah.
Yeah, so routinely I try to go see him Thursday night because I work Friday and I don't like the crowds. And usually Thursday nights is not too bad, especially with theater we go to because it's pick your own seats. And when you do that, a lot of times you don't get newer trailers because for some reason the build they have for it doesn't have all the new stuff on it. And it's happened before in other movies. Like Guardians, the first time I went and saw it Thursday night, it didn't have the Thor Ragnarok trailer. Went and saw it again on the following day on Friday, had the Thor Ragnarok trailer. So why? I'm not too sure. It's all digital now, so I'm not too sure. You're not really physically cutting them up to put them on there, so I don't know how that happens. But I did see Wonder Woman twice, and neither time was the Justice League trailer was nowhere to be seen. Weird though is I did see the Thor Ragnarok trailer and Spider-Man Homecoming trailer before the movie. And
right.
Thursday night we saw Transformers, The Mummy.
Yeah.
I know we saw Spider-Man. There was something else we saw, too. I was in front of it. I don't remember what it was. But it wasn't Justice League. I know for a fact because I was like, oh, maybe we get a new trailer. Like, they snuck it in.
No.
Not shit. No. We didn't get shit. Not a goddamn thing. Which is so fucking weird to me. Like, so weird to me. Like, it's not like they're not ready. I mean, the movie comes out in November, hopefully. We'll see what happens with the reshoots. Additional shoots. But I don't know. It just seems weird to me. Like this is the first of the new solo movies, right? In this universe.
Yeah.
And like outside Superman or Man of Steel, obviously, you know, because Batman and Superman was essentially a team up movie. And then Justice League, obviously, later this year is the ultimate team up movie. But, like, you think, oh, okay, this is just another stepping stone, right? Let's just give them an idea. Like, hey, this is Just in case you're not paying attention, this is where Wonder Woman's going to be soon. Mm-hmm. Next time. And at the, I noticed at the end of the movie, too, spoiler alert, there's no scenes at the during the credits. At the very end, a lot of times with, and again, I'm going to go with comparing this to Marvel movies, but at the end of Marvel movies, you get a little snippet saying so-and-so will return, blah, 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 right? This one? Nothing. Not even Wonder Woman will return in Justice League, or Wonder Woman will return soonish. Like, nothing. It's just like, Wonder Woman copyright. Bye.
Yeah, I don't really care about that, though.
It's just weird to me. Like, it's not like they're like, oh, we don't want to be part of it anymore. It's like, no, like, you are a shared universe.
To me, though, they've already done that within the movie. You don't need to do that after the credits. And this goes back to the thing that I've said before, is how DC seems to be building a more concise and better universe within the films than Marvel does. Because Marvel does that. They do the film about what it is, and then after the credits is when they go, oh, yeah, and you know.
That's not true.
Other stuff.
That's not true at all.
They mostly link their movies together after credits.
No, it's all this, it's all happening in the movie.
Mm.
The movie has its main plot, but there's stuff in the movie that's linking the other movies together. They just use the stinger scenes to give you a little tease for what's coming up.
Yeah, but they in the beginning of the series, they like when Tony Stark suddenly walks into the... to the stinger scene for the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the second one, by the way, because Iron Man had the first stinger scene.
Yeah, but I'm saying that they mostly did their world building within the...
Siri tried to...
Yeah, Siri was like seriously just like sitting there like
dictating
everything. I was just waiting for it to stop and suddenly say something. But no, these ones build it... These DC movies build it within the movie at the beginning, which I will say when you ask like any types of gripes about the movie, the only thing I thought was weird is like I went into it completely expecting this being to take place during World War One, and immediately we're present day, and it was like, oh, okay, this is a little weird. Just felt weird to me. I don't know why.
Well, I mean, it was linking the. What we saw, because we saw Bruce Wayne have the photo of her and her compadres from her time back in the day. And he's like, well, this looked like her. All done off the file that he got from Lex. And then he tracks down the original photo, sends it via his personal carrier's delivery system to Diana at her office inside the Louvre.
That's what it looked like.
That's what it seemed like.
She almost looked like maybe she was like some sort of historian or something, which would make sense. Yeah, I mean,
historian or first person.
Yeah, right.
But
all I'm saying is just that I went into it expecting just from the get-go this to be, you know, you could cut the front scene off and the back scene off, and that's what I would have went in expecting.
Oh, no, I didn't. I knew it was going to be that way.
It's not a bad thing. It was just a weird expectation, I guess. Going into it, but everything else in the
classic storytelling.
No, it is, but everything else in the movie is absolutely fantastic.
They didn't want to be too much like Captain America: The First Avenger, because Captain America: First Avenger started off in that time period.
Yeah,
so they didn't want to copy it too badly.
Yeah, I still wouldn't have called it a much of a copy anyway.
Kind of was.
Does Steve Rogers get made in a faraway land, which was another thing I actually liked about the movie.
He does.
Faraway land of America.
He's getting made in America.
Steve Rogers.
When he's transformed into Captain America? I thought you meant because Captain America. I get you. I was thinking that way. I was like, no, he was over the sea when they gave him the stupid little outfit.
No.
Gotcha. Go ahead. Yeah. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say that I haven't really read many reviews of the movie, just because I don't really read reviews. I hate people that mostly do the reviews. I thought it was interesting how Themyscira was just like bright and colorful, because I know this was something that a lot of people had problems with Batman versus Superman and Man of Steel, that it was just a dark universe. And within Themyscira, it was just bright and sunny and colorful. And then you got outside of that, and you're like, oh, the rest of this shit is really awful looking.
Yeah. Mankind has ruined the Earth.
Yeah.
Maybe even outside the little bubble of invisibility. I mean, granted, it was nighttime, but even then it had like a dark feel to even that.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, no, that's everyone's real big gripe. And they're like, oh, it's going to be bright. And I'm like, I don't think it is. I think that they're going to use that as a contrast to show you that Themyscira is perfect. I mean, it has flaws. But it was perfect. So it's nice and bright and colorful and full of life. And there's, you know, songs on the wind and blah, blah, blah. And ladies trying to hack each other up. And then the outside world of man was just war-torn and, you know, devastating and things like that. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It'd be really funny if we finally get to go to, like, a other world and it's just, like, super bright and cheery. We're like, well, apparently the people who make these movies do not like Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. There wasn't a lot of Easter eggs, you could say, in this movie, other than Easter eggs for Wonder Woman stuff. Just another way of, you know, showing that they're not being formulaic and they're not trying to copy other things. The one thing I would have liked, though, more of, and I'll have to see it a couple more times probably, to see it would be if there are, other than just like the Wayne Enterprises delivery system, and, you know, the little jabs at, you know, her being, what did he say? What did Steve Trevor say? Something about justice and like basically referring to Justice League. But like little things that visually you would see that would lead you to other things, but being in World War One, kind of makes it a little difficult to do some of that stuff. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, hey, by the way, this guy whose family has nothing to do with this, his name is Wayne. No? Okay, cool.
No.
So yeah, no, it's and because, and again, to Joe's point, it's because it's, you know, way back in the Dizay. You don't have a lot of those links. I mean, granted, there's probably a Wayne alive at that time because they're not a, you know, but that just happened. But
if we're going off of like comic book stuff, that all was all in America.
Yeah, like they were. Yeah. So, I mean, so sure, there was
the chances of you seeing a Wayne over in Europe during
World War I, he would have, because yeah, would have been at that time. Their family was so powerful and rich, they wouldn't have a child in World War One. So, I mean, shouldn't have, because, you know, rich families don't send their kids to war.
Right.
Especially that rich of a family and that powerful of a family. But I'm talking more of like the, like have a nod to like a, Aquaman and stuff like that, since that's, you know, another solo movie.
But it didn't, they didn't, as far as I remember.
No, they didn't. I'm just saying it would have been cool to see that stuff hidden in there somehow. Even if it's not like someone going, hey, there's a man who lives in the sea. I was talking more awful. Of like, you know, you see.
It's so fucking awful.
Oh, you know, it'd be terrible, yeah.
Maybe something like, because they do a little bit of a flashback towards like the different gods and
yeah,
Greek
you see
mythology.
Like the,
and if,
yep.
you saw, if you saw something there, that would make
yeah,
sense.
That's
and
what
that
I mean.
Would be like, okay, that's
little
cool.
things that would
yeah.
lead you to believe that. So I have a lot of people ask me about it, because, you know, I'm a end-all be-all knowledge of comic book stuff, according to everybody else. They're like, people were confused on whether she's a god or not, and I was like, well, she's a demigod,
which would be half mortalish, half god.
Yeah. And then they're like, hey, can she fly? I was like, well, technically yes.
Yeah. They didn't do it in this movie, obviously. She can leap really high.
Yeah.
But if I recall right, even in the original comics, at first she couldn't fly. She could, again, leap really high. That's why they introduced the invisible jet in early comics, so that she can, quote-unquote, fly.
That
and then
terrible.
Just after a while, they were just like, well, let's just make her fly.
Yeah, because the invisible jet is fucking terrible.
It is terrible, yeah.
Looks terrible. Seems terrible, and it's like not actually invisible because I can see lines.
Yeah,
and the fact that she's sitting down, like.
Plus, why would she have an invisible jet?
Why
from Themyscira? a place where there were no jets.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was always terrible.
Unless we just didn't see them, I don't know.
They're on the other side of the island, so they took a boat. They took a boat. By the way, they just flew in here on a plane. Well, fell in there with a plane.
Yeah, definitely.
So you would think, hey, if we have some kind of air travel, like we should probably take it. No,
right.
We're gonna take a shitty boat.
Little boat sails.
Cool.
Yeah,
cool. We'll barely survive on a boat. Otherwise, I think the was very well done, very well written. I liked it. Gave you all of her backstory without being super convoluted with anything.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there was a point of pointing out the horrors of war, which every war movie should do. And if you ask me, it shouldn't just be glorifying killing other people. But the humor was fantastic in it, which great change from the other DC movies. Mm-hmm. And there's little things to laugh about, and little things you know you're supposed to laugh about. This had a lot of them.
Oh yeah,
the sexual stuff was hilarious, mm-hmm, between her and Steve.
Right there on the boat. Yeah.
Yep. The whole using the how she's so out of place in modern day London. As they say,
I don't know why that scene got me, where she just goes, "Oh, baby," and just starts running towards it.
Yeah, it's because
no, this isn't the mascara.
So if you think about it, so if you know the story, so when Roland was growing up, because all of the women on the island were birthed of the sea, there are no babies, no children. She grew up the only child on Themyscira. She was the only baby on Themyscira. She grew up to be a woman on Themyscira, having nobody of her age to play with. So when she's out in the real world and she sees a baby, she, of course, is elated by it, because she's like, oh, I've never actually seen a baby other than, like, you know, pictures or, you know, storybooks of her when she was a baby. Because, again, they don't have any pictures there. They have drawings and shit. Mm. So like her seeing a baby, she's like, oh, and she gets excited about it because, like, you know, she's out in the real world or a man world of man, and she sees stuff that she's only ever heard about, you know. It was really funny. It was funny because it was out of the blue. Like, it wasn't a thing where they brought it up before. Like, oh, I can't wait to see a baby. And then she sees a baby. It's just one of the things, like, oh, a baby, and the whole place that laughs, like, oh, that shit's hilarious. Like, you realize, oh, she's never actually seen a baby, so this must be exciting for her, and she's overly excited about it. So she tries to run over there and, you know, grab the baby.
She does really bring that brightness from Themyscira over in her personality, and it's actually a very good, really tip of the hat to Gal Gadot and her ability to act and bring that forward, because that whole scene where she's literally just a fish out of water, and they're walking down that street going to whatever the building was that Chris Pine's character needed to go to, and she's just like, why are those two people holding hands? Well, they're together. And so she just starts holding his hand, and he's like, no, we're not together.
Yeah, we are. He's like, no, not like that.
Not like that, yeah.
Yeah, so it's, you can see, like, they did a really good job of making her try to fit in, but obviously she doesn't understand a lot of things, because there's many things that she doesn't know of. Like marriage,
mm-hmm,
things like that. They make a comment about she knows what intercourse is because of a set of books that she read that talked all about it. And then she makes a really funny comment. To me, I found it extremely funny. Some people found it a little distasteful. And how she says that truly women don't need men to have pleasure. And I was like, so says 83% of all porn on the internet. But there's a lot of that in there. And speaking of her attitude, there's a lot of negative comments about how she's very naive in this movie, in comparison to, like, the way Superman's naive about certain things. Like, it's just good is good and bad is bad. But that's the type of character that they are, and that's, you're seeing the evolution of those the origin of these people. So obviously by the time we meet Wonder Woman for the first time in Batman v Superman, she's obviously learned the biggest difference between good and good and evil and evil.
Yeah.
And the fact there are different shades of it. And if you pay attention to this movie, as you go from Themyscira to the end of the film, she realizes that. Mm-hmm. But she is in the she's in the know that there are ultimate evils and there's ultimate good. And she wants to be ultimate good and she wants to defeat ultimate evil. And yes, she doesn't at first get that there is shades of bad and shades of good.
Because
like, good people do bad things for a reason, but bad people do bad things because they think it's going to be good, that sort of stuff. She doesn't get that at first. And then through the trials of going through the war and the few days that she's there, you can see the evolution of that changing. She still doesn't fully believe in it. But again, she's been in the world for 4 or 5 days at this time.
Yeah.
So like, you don't just learn those life lessons after growing up 20-something years only knowing good.
And it is directly explained. Like, I don't know, I don't understand how you can not understand it when you're literally just told that when she was a kid, that all the stories that she was told were that Zeus created man to be good. And then Ares decided that he didn't like that, so he made them war with each other. And the whole thing was that if you killed Ares, then everyone would go back to loving each other. And so that's what her whole thing was. That's, you know, her whole naivete was literally that, well, no, everybody's good. It's just because of Ares. So if we just go kill Ares, everybody will be good again, you know. And yeah,
but that's not how it works.
But that's not how it works. Yeah,
and she has to learn that, and that's what she does. And obviously, by the time she gets to modern day, she's obviously learned those lessons.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it makes me upset when people say that shit like that, because they're like, obviously they're not paying attention to what's being said on the screen.
Yeah.
And the words that are they're using to say that, other than blatantly coming out saying, "Hey, she doesn't know any better. So give her a minute."
Yeah.
Yeah, but the story wise though, it's it does get very heavy towards the end.
Oh yeah.
As it means war again, war movie should have some kind of, you know, aspect of that. The one thing though that I really wanted to see was her throw an actual tank.
She came close.
She did come very close.
She picked that tank up.
She did pick the tank up.
I was hoping that she would.
She was getting ready to smash it on a.
No, she was. I was hoping that poison, she would throw it at Ares.
Yeah, I was hoping she just kind of tossed it to the side, but I was like, well, you know what? Good enough. The poster showed her holding it.
Mm-hmm.
I assumed she was going to throw it. That's my bad.
Mm-hmm.
I did get what I wanted, which was her picking up a tank, a full on tank, and she did it. It was fucking dope. Fucking dope.
What was your reactions to the two little twists in the movie? Did you see them coming? I will say I didn't see it coming.
Which ones are you talking about?
So I'm talking about who Ares was, and also
I called who Ares was early. I just didn't say anything.
Also, they built up the sword so much, calling it the God
that,
Killer.
Yeah, that got me. That one for sure. That one threw me quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that Danny Houston wasn't Ares going into the movie. I guess that right away. It's like, did they play it up too much? Like, mm-hmm. Why give it away?
But did you expect it to be who it ended up
yes,
being?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
How much do I want to spoil? I think it was the... All right, so I'll just say it. It doesn't really matter. So when they first meet her, he's the only person in the room that isn't shocked to see her. He stops talking because he notices who she is, but he's not shocked to see a woman in the room. Mm-hmm. He's shocked to see who the woman is in the room, and you can see there's recognition. And I was like, man, I don't trust you. And he was too forthright in pushing them towards that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you learn later on, he... literally want he doesn't want to kill her, he wants to corrupt her like he is. He wants to turn her into a weapon and a way to punish human beings. So I called it almost right away. At first, I mean, it was funny because like I even doubted. I was like, maybe that's not him. Like maybe it's, you know, it's going to be someone else, like, whatever. And then I was like, no, they keep going back to this guy.
See, I didn't think that they were going to bring in Ares at all. I thought they were literally just going to have it.
Oh, I knew. I knew they were. Now, I would have been surprised if Ares was someone we didn't meet through the movie, but then he materializes after she kills Danny Houston's character.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been probably more thrown back by that. And then they reveal it's someone's so-and-so. Like, you saw for, like, a split second. But, yeah, it was just played up too much, for me at least.
Yeah,
to do it.
I
the sword, though, yeah, no, for sure. I was like, what now?
Yeah, she just goes full-on thrust. She's going to run him through.
All the way through,
all the way down to the hilt, and it just crumples in his hand. And I was I was like, oh,
he melts that shit.
What now?
Yeah, I was like, he's stronger now?
I was like, that was supposed to be a god killer.
And then he looks at it and goes, you're so dumb. I was like, all right, well, I'm right there with
her. Yeah, because I'm lost as well.
Because I was told by a bunch of old Amazon broads that shit is going to murder you.
Uh-huh.
And
Zeus specifically created this thing in order to
you have to realize Zeus made something else too.
Yeah.
And I will say this though, whoever made the sword made it poorly, because they should have made it out of whatever that shield was made out of, because that shit took damage faux show.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, the sword did a lot of damage until a god palmed it, and then that shit just melted down, literally, as Joe said, down to the hilt.
Yeah.
And was, as the kids would say nowadays, useless. Because obviously the pointy end did no good.
Yeah, no. And, she tried to stick him with the pointy end.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She tried to Game of Thrones the shit out of him, but nah. I did like, spoiler alert, when she kills him, she even says, she calls him brother. Mm-hmm. And then in that final fight, I found that really, really, really fun way of doing it, because she embraced it, who she was, mainly because, like, she took the lightning shot that he shot at her, and she's like, oh, mm-hmm. Okay. Because if you didn't know, okay, so I'll say this: if me saying that she is who she is ruins anything for you, I'm sorry. I should have said, "Wait, me spoilers in this." But B, you weren't watching that movie at all, because at every aspect of her life, she was better than everybody else, even her teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, your teacher was teaching her how to fight, but there's parts where she was doing things even shocked the teacher. And then the teacher would, you know, obviously come back and at her harder, and then you see the type with the gauntlets when she hits it, and like that eruption of power. If you didn't get the fact that she is special from that, and then the fact that no one else seems to be able to jump like she does, or punch into a wall with just her fingertips and climb a wall, yeah. If you didn't get that fact that makes her special also, A, again, you're not paying attention to all the stuff that's on the screen, and you probably should not see movies in public, because you're the person who asks questions while the movie's running. Oh, Joe's falling asleep.
Oh, God.
Been such a long day.
It's not even a long day. It was more like the freaking long nights.
Yeah, it was, you fucking crazy person.
Playing Wildlands.
Yeah, this guy's up all night playing video games.
All night long. No, I love
all night long. All night long. Yeah, so like, these are the type of movies where like, I kind of feel like they shouldn't be summer movies, but they need to be, because obviously that's the crowd.
Yeah.
But like, they're just too much thinking to go into them to just be like a Transformers, where like, you're not really learning anything in Transformers.
You're just watching pretty CGI.
Yeah, you're just watching cool special effects beat up other cool special effects, and then shitty fucking actors wander around trying not to get squashed. Sorry, that was a soapbox moment for me.
Speaking of soapbox moments, what was your opinion of the Zack Snyder slow-mo fighting in this? Because a lot of people, again, had...
I thought it was done very well.
I thought so as well.
I think the biggest difference in this is they did less of the Zack Snyder's way of doing it is to do one miraculous thing. Like, oh, you know, a bullet bounces off, you know, his skin or whatever, right? Or like someone hits him with something and it's just blah, blah, blah. Whatever, right? So what they did in this is they didn't show it as, oh, look what's going to happen in slow-mo. It's the fact that her reaction time and her speed is that much faster than everybody else around her. So she has the time to like look at a bullet and then react when a mortar is coming at her and she just kind of bats it away. And one time she grabs one and throws it.
Yeah.
You know, like that's just, I think, and the other thing I do is like the sped up moments where like she shoots across a room, like cutting dudes down. And like she parts where she slides on her shield, Captain America style, which is fucking dope as shit.
Mm.
And she like kicks through a dude, literally, like, he doesn't like split in half. Like the dude's dead. I don't know if I mentioned this before, and I don't think I did. This movie was borderline rated R. Other than the fact there was no real amount of blood, because she murdered the fuck out of people on camera.
Yes.
And I know I bring this up a lot of movies, and it shocks me how the rating boards like that lets this go by. Other than like F-bombs and F-bombs. And I'll say this. Pirates of the Caribbean, the new one, not a great movie. It had some issues, but it was fun. But the on-screen death in that movie literally must... They must have gone back and said, like, yo, like, this is going to be rated R. And Disney's like, here's Lifetime Passes. Like, oh, I guess it's PG-13. I didn't see that there was no blood. This movie did the same thing. At one point, she legitimately runs her sword through two dudes. And because there's no visible blood, A-okay. I'm like, yo. I would have made this movie with a crazy warrior woman that wasn't called just Wonder Woman. You would have given me a rated R.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know that shit was violent as fuck. Like, I don't know, maybe shoving a sword so deep in a guy it goes through the roof of the building they're standing on.
Yeah.
But because there's no blood dripping from the sword on the other end, not rated R. It's like, dude, you know what that sword's doing. If you don't know what that sword's doing, something's wrong with you. Because you literally saw it drive through his chest. No? Okay, cool. But I think this one, definitely way over Batman v Superman, had more actual storytelling in it. Much like Man of Steel did. Not so much Suicide Squad, because Suicide Squad was like little snippets and it wasn't really telling a story. It was just telling you who these people are. Because overall, that didn't have a plot.
Yeah.
It was just bad people trying to take down a worse person. But we knew that going in. It's not like we were looking for Shakespeare. But this one had a lot of depth to it. I thought it was very well written. By a man, by the way, if you guys didn't know that. Patty Jenkins was the only director, guys. The story was written by three men, and the screenplay was written by another man, which is one of those three men. So it wasn't four people, it was three people. But what I'm saying, though, is I think there's a lot more to this film that people are missing because they're not actually paying attention to the words that are being said, and they're just worried about the shit happening on the screen, which is a failure to actually enjoy things, if you ask me. They're looking for a Fast and Furious with a lady in tights when they're actually getting an actual plotted movie with real emotion in it with a lady with a sword.
Yeah.
It's like Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones has a story to tell. It also has uber violence. Granted, there's a whole lot more blood in that movie, in that TV show. But what I'm saying is, and there's way more nudity.
Yeah.
Way dicks, more dicks. Dicks, titties, dicks. But I think that it's going to not land with as many people with a point to the movie versus just, oh, she's a strong woman, which, all right, fine. I can't wrap my mind around it because I'm a man and all the movies ever made have men as lead characters in it. And I know it probably sounds terrible, but women obviously gravitate this because it's a strong woman. And I get that, but that's not my point. I think the point is, the movie itself is telling a very poignant story about society and the world we live in without actually coming out and just saying it. It does it in with pictures and a little bit of words. I mean, it's very heavy. But no one seems to focus on that. No one seems to... I have yet to see anybody rant about... I haven't read a lot of reviews because, again, like Joe, I can't stand those people. But I have yet to see anybody comment of like how anti-war the movie actually is. Because it's super anti-war. Like, super anti-war. And, again, the Nazis are not exactly shown in the best light.
They weren't Nazis.
What?
They weren't Nazis.
They were Nazis?
No. Germans. Oh, Nazis well, didn't come out until after World War
Germans.
II.
Germans.
I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah, sorry. I meant Germans. Yes. Because I was like, wait, what? And Nazis aren't actually from a place. They're just an organization.
World War II.
But the Germans did not come off as a very good group of people yet again. I did like, though, at the end, spoiler alert, when she kills Ares, the remaining soul,
they kind of
come out of that war haze where like they're just blatantly and they like hug each other and they're like, oh, Jesus Christ, like we would have killed tons of people, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was pretty cool. But it goes to the fact that like obviously Ares did have a little bit of
even though he said that his influence was only limited to just like telling people how to do stuff.
He's a liar.
Yeah, exactly. He's obviously lying, and he had a lot more influence than what he was leading on.
Yeah,
exactly.
I do. One thing, though, I thought was extremely clever and I liked a lot was the fact that he didn't just magically have armor that appeared.
Yeah,
he built it out of the wreckage around him.
Uh-huh.
And then, dude, when he put the mask on, he grabs his fingers and drags down and melts the holes for his eyes. I was like,
that was super dope.
Oh my God, that is so rad.
Yeah.
Like, so rad. And even from then, it was jagged and not even. It was super rough. And I was like, man, that's so cool. That mm-hmm. dude's so BA. And actually, the one thing, now that I think about that, that did throw me off was the mustache. So the dude who plays Ares in this plays another character, and he's a English diplomatist guy, right, whatever. Proper English gentleman has a mustache. That's not what I'm talking about. That does not bother me. It's the time era. Those dudes love facial hair. The crazy mustache beard things, the wigs they wore in court, blah, 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 right? The thing that threw me off is when they showed him injured after he took the lightning bolt to the stomach, in the gutsy area, by Zeus, and he's sitting in the cave there. They have that dude, that actor's face, but with the mustache still. And I was like, that wouldn't have been a thing. If it was a beard, okay, I wouldn't get it. But it was just a mustache. And I was like, that seems weird to me. Did they just not want that actor to have to shave and then regrow a mustache? Or I didn't really get that point. It just was weird to me.
Yeah, it didn't bother me.
Because, like, you see it, like, you don't see Ares, like, other than in the armor when it's the storytelling.
Yes.
And when you do see his face area, it's just glowing eyes being a dark face. But when you see him in the cave and he has the same mustache and haircut that he'd had when just nowadays, like, that dude's really pulling that look off for a long time. But it just threw me off, like, that, why he had a mustache.
I'd imagine that's what Ares looks like from the beginning. It's just that you put on that armor and you're the god of war and you give off a much different tone than what you actually look like, which is some scrawny
English guy.
Yeah, some scrawny English guy.
Played off that cane pretty well, though.
And that's
huh?
another thing that threw me off with the character and the twist is like, even just physically looking at him, I wouldn't have thought that that's Ares with... You know, you put all that armor on him and you assume that it's got to be like some big guy. He's a god. I mean, for goodness sakes. Nope. Just some thin guy. He might have the ability to shapeshift. I don't know. They didn't establish that in this movie. But, yeah, it was weird. But
the only thing that was really weird to me is the fact that he had that mustache way back when. And it's like, to me, and again, in my brain, I just didn't picture. I mean, I could picture a god looking like him and not being, you know, statuesque, you know, Hercules looking guy, but having the mustache just made me like, I don't think he has a mustache back then. Like, it was a long time ago. That dude really is into mustaches,
mm-hmm.
which is fine. I mean, if you're into mustaches,
where do you think it started?
He brought it to England, apparently.
Brought it to England.
And tricked them all, making them think he's a good guy.
Yeah,
like,
he did.
He's like, you grow mustaches, you know, it's going to be proper. Yeah, it was the only thing that, like, just, it made me, when it came on screen, I was just like,
Why does he have a mustache? That's cool. I mean, I'll never get, not have a beard. But, like, it seems weird. I'm not in charge of anything. I'm not, you know, God of War. I could be. But, it, I don't know. It was really strange to me. I thought it was strange, but whatever.
Yeah.
But then again, I said to someone else, is like, when I brought that up, was like, I guess it could have just been them letting you see, because he's telling her the story and she's seeing him, so you might be seeing her interpretation of what he's telling her. But I just, it just threw me off. But he did have a massive hole in him, though, in that cave. And he's like, ouchie, ouch, and there's a big burned hole in him. I was like, he didn't actually say ouchie, ouch, by the way, guys. He had an ouchie, ouch look on his face, is what I'm saying. But he took that lightning bolt like a goddamn champ. Oh, shit. Well, the one from Zeus.
Yeah.
Not the last one from Diana.
No.
That shit got wrecked. Yeah, for sure. They're going to repave so much
of
that airport.
He's not going to be in the sequel.
No. I mean, he could be, but you know, no one ever really dies in comic books. Except for Quicksilver in the MCU.
So is Chris Pine's character coming back?
So, speaking of that, Chris Pine had a very interesting something to bring up about that. How he wanted to be in a future Wonder Woman movie.
Okay.
Well, if you think about it, that dude dead as fuck.
Yes, he is.
That plane went kaboom.
And he's human, like full human.
Yeah, like full on human. Yeah, he might have got down with a demigod. Maybe, we don't know.
It was some heavily blocking, implied.
A lot of heavily implied. Started on a boat and kept building until a certain hotel room after a major war or major battle, which they won. But I don't think that gives you the ability to survive a explosion of toxic gas inside a rudimentary airplane from back in the day. But he brought up the fact that he could be an ancestor of Steve Trevor.
All right.
So, I mean, it's been historically proven that there are ancestors that look like each other. Not like obviously spot on. Cut his hair differently. That I was like, oh, actually, you know, obviously he didn't have a kid we know of with Diana. So it'd be super weird. Like one night she just like, well, here's a quarter god. Right? Half is quarter when it's halved?
Yeah.
Sure not. I don't know. I don't even know what to call that. It's technically still a demigod, I guess. Still got god blood in him, right? Three quarters human, one quarter god.
Would it just be like a demigod? You just keep knocking off letters as you go?
Well, I mean, a god is a god, and demi means part or part of. So, I mean, part of would be demi, or it'd be den. D-God? We a D-God? A me-God? I don't know what it's called.
I don't know.
Whatever, we're not fucking theologists. No. But I thought it was pretty clever. Like, even if it was just like a nod to she sees him at one point and be like, whoa, wait, like, I totally fucking blew that guy once, but he blew it up in a helicopter. She would know the lingo by then.
It would be just be funny to listen to Gal Gadot, the Wonder Woman, actually say that.
Yeah, oh, for sure. That would get you an R for sure. Wonder Woman just talked about blowing a guy. No, we're still in PG-13?
Fair enough. PG-13. Okay. Yeah. Well, come on. They had the whole sex book in the boat part.
That was pretty. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know all the positions or whatever it was. She said. Yeah.
I was like,
do you have that book with you? No.
Did you bring those with you? No.
No.
Visibly disappointed. Yeah, so, I mean, whatever. I would say good movie.
So would I. Definitely.
Yeah.
What do you think it is for an Oscar contender? Because I did start reading articles where, first off, and I don't know going into past history of other movies, when they did the Oscar screening for it, it was a full audience. Whereas in past... they were saying, at least in that one article, you don't see the any real movie just like filling up an Oscar screening for it. Then they started getting into how the directors started getting emails from the what do they call them? The voters, for it.
The Academy itself.
The Academy itself, saying how well she did and how much they liked it and stuff. Do you think that this could be the movie that suddenly puts a superhero movie into Best Picture and Best Actress? Maybe, well, you didn't really have an actor, but...
Yes, yeah, supporting actor. I mean, Chris Pine was a...
Yeah, it's supporting. That's what I'm getting at. You don't have
a main male lead. I mean, technically, he was the male lead of this movie, but obviously you didn't see him for the first, like, 20-something minutes of the movie.
But
so,
in your opinion, could this be the first superhero film, really even just action movie in general, to break the...
It won't win, but it definitely could get nominated, yes.
Yeah?
Yeah. And going about this year's movies, it's definitely one of the overall best made movies, and that's on every aspect, visually. Because even with the CG stuff, very excellently done. Like, there was very little... I can tell you that's not a human being doing it. Ways, like, unlike in Pirates of the Caribbean, which is one scene just looked fucking terrible.
A couple scenes.
Yeah. But in this is, like, really done well. Like, when she flies up, it looks like Gal Gadot just fucking flying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just boom. It looked pretty cool. Set pieces were amazing. There wasn't a lot of long, drawn-out shots that you see in this more established directors. But again, that might not be her choice because she's just the director and not the cinematographer.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, you got to remember they are shooting in modern day for a movie taking place in 1930-something, right? World War One. When was World War One?
I think it was late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah, somewhere in there, right?
Because
yeah.
Then you had that little bit of period between in the 19 early... Late 30s, early 40s is when World War II broke out.
Yeah, okay. So what I'm getting at is it's really hard to do without digitally removing a lot of shit. But set pieces, if anything, this should definitely be up for like things like
cinematography,
director, a lot of technical stuff, costumes.
I'd say definitely lead actress.
Yeah, she was terrific at it. I even liked the little girl when she was like little itty bitty Diana, like that little sly smile she'd get. I was like, "Oh, girl, you know what you're doing."
Yeah, one of the few cases where working with children actually, you know, worked.
Yeah, like they got
best supporting actor, you know, Chris Pine. I'm trying to think of anything else. I mean, the sound was really well done. Sound mixing was really well done.
The costumes, and really, even this.
That's another one, and that's another gripe, really, of mine.
Well, yeah,
do you think that you could actually, could this win for best costume design?
It's a superhero movie. Because, yes, she wore armor, like battle armor, but there was a lot of people in period relevant clothes. Period. Gross. There was no blood in this movie. But, like, period specific costumes that look legit.
Yes.
Which,
especially when they were back in London at the beginning of the movie.
By the way, you can't just go buy those clothes now, so guess what? Someone had to make them and make them functional. And unlike, we'll just say, like, Iron Man's armor, where, like, a lot of what you see as Iron Man when he's fully armored is not real.
No.
But then you see the parts where, like, Tony's standing in armor, and also a lot of times you can tell it's practical and he doesn't move a whole lot. There's other parts he's, like, not practical and he moves a lot. And you can see, obviously, that's not a costume. Captain America, he wears an outfit. That's a fucking costume.
Yeah.
And the costume, by the way, that has to be made to look like something that was completely fictional.
Mm-hmm.
Completely fictional. A gentleman drew it. Many gentlemen drew it. But people have drawn it only, ever. And then somebody had to make it not only fit a human being, but be functional on and off camera.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's, to me, that is the definition of a costume.
Exactly.
Not a fucking fluffy dress from fucking Elizabethtown or whatever the fuck those movies are.
Yeah.
But because this took place in the time of World War One, in World War One ravaged England and Germany, the military outfits looked dope.
Mm-hmm.
The planes looked dope. The people's dresses looked dope. The cars looked dope. That shit you have to make. You have to legitimately make that. You can't go somewhere and just buy that at Gap.
Yeah.
You have, like, someone has, seamstresses have to fucking make that from scratch. Yes, they're basing it on original stuff, but it's just not around anymore.
No.
If you go and you make a movie in 1942, in 1942, about 1942, you don't have to actually make clothes. You go buy them. But if you're in 2017/2016/2015, wherever this fucking started, and you have to make clothes for 1930 that look like 1930 clothes, that shit's legitly made. And then Wonder Woman's outfit. That shit's not even close to real. Anything.
No.
Like, she looks like a badass, war-hardened cheerleader that'll punch a hole through you.
Yeah.
That shit's not real. You can't go and you can't get that somewhere. Yes, you can get a Linda Carter Wonder Woman outfit somewhere. But no one's winning an Oscar for that.
No.
But Gal Gadot's outfit looked like real functional battle armor, but with a skirt. Like, dude, seriously? Like, how is that not an even option to do? I said the same things, like Suicide Squad. Okay? Not everyone's favorite movie, fine. But legit outfits that people had to wear.
Yeah.
Some were unpractical for being in a war zone. Harley
Quinn. Yeah.
But, like, that's real shit that someone had to make. Like, every aspect of it. Like, weathering Killer Croc's leather jacket. That shit looked like he wore it in the sewer. Like, I literally believe that dude wore that shit in the sewer.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, nothing? Nothing. Nothing. Okay, cool. No. Whatever. It's like, they aren't real things. Like, it's not a print proper leather jacket Killer Croc was wearing. Shit had tears in it, and the leather was all gross and scaly looking. Like a giant human alligator was wearing it.
Yeah.
Makeup. Yes, I had a problem with how big he wasn't, but he looked like a legit, like, you couldn't tell who that actor was.
No.
At all. And, like, I'll give you this instance. I love the Hellboy movies. But you can tell that's Ron Perlman.
You can, definitely.
Definitely tell it's Ron Perlman. You could not tell me you knew who that was, David Hyde Pierce, or, not David Hyde Pierce, he did the voice. Doug Jones as Abe Sapien.
Nope.
Looks nothing like him.
Nope.
Mainly because, like, he has fish and, like, no nose. But what I'm saying is that's legit makeup. Was that nominated? No. Killer Croc was so legit, nothing. Dude had gills. Functional gills, but it looked like functional gills. Like, he couldn't actually breathe through them. But they were on his neck, and you could see them. He had teethuses that were, like, pointed and sharp and gross-looking. Nothing.
No.
No makeup. Nod. No nothing. So, yes, I believe, after my terrible rant right now, that there needs to be something coming out of this. Best actress? All right, fine. You don't give it to her? Whatever. Right? So, cool. Best director? Easily should be a nomination, because she has done virtually nothing before this, which blew my mind that she got this. But obviously they saw something in her.
Yeah.
And she was a lady, so that helped a lot. The visual effects in this, the feel of real war, like in the trenches, the mud packed on people, the terrible living conditions, shit looked like it would have, I imagine, in World War One. Yeah. I can't tell you if it did or not because I'm not super old, even though everyone at work says I am. Don't shake your head at that, Captain Greybeard. But like, that shit looked like Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, it really did.
But way dirtier.
Yeah.
And way worse, by the way. Like, yes, there's some terrible things that happened in that. But, like, this, like, felt on par with, like, terribleness of, like, Fury.
Yeah.
Where it was like, yo, like, these dudes ain't in good places.
No.
Not that in Saving Private Ryan they're in good places. But it was kind of cheery and open world until towards the end when everyone started dying. But, like, this, no. Deep in war the entire time. Like, even the campfire scene was unsettling, where you could hear the the explosions from the guns, and like, I was like, yo, like, y'all way too close.
Yeah.
Way too close. She's like, it's weird thunder. I'm like, bitch, ain't
it's
thunder.
Not thunder. No.
That is war. I do like the fact that she was so gung-ho to go into war, though.
Like, because in battle. Her idea, it was idealized to her.
Yeah. And it made me like, oh, God.
She always wanted to do this for her whole life. This is what Amazon's trained for. And she's just like, I'm going to make the world a better place. I'm going to fight Ares. I'm going to, you know, win this war. And, yeah. And, yeah,
that's another
point, it was
too,
funny.
When the German forces that were following Steve in through the thing, and they attack the beach, and those the Amazons that come off the ropes, and then like, you shoot them, and you see the dangling body. I was like,
yeah,
visual on screen death. By the way, nobody. There are kids in this theater. That woman is visually dead. She's not taking a nap.
This is really the first, like, mainstream superhero, because I know you already have, like, Deadpool, you have Logan, and even going back to, like, Blade. Those are all comic book heroes, but with the exception of maybe Logan, all of those are more of, like, ancillary characters, whereas Wonder Woman is a main character within the DC universe.
Murdering people.
Yeah, exactly. This is really the first comic book movie that I can think of just straight up murdering people.
Human beings, no less.
Yeah.
Like, Batman v Superman, they fought each other.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Man of Steel, you know, he mostly fought with
Kryptonians.
And any death that did occur was just an off-screen type of, well,
explosion.
I assume there was a ton of people in that building that got cut down. Yeah.
Yeah. This was on par, not on par, but this is pretty close, like, the death type of stuff that was happening in Deadpool and in Logan, where, like, dudes are getting cut open.
Yeah.
And destroyed. Yes, you don't have the evisceration coming out. Like, you don't have blood. It's spilling everywhere and brains leaking out of heads. But she took a sword that chops through things and hit it, the sharp ends, on people.
Yep.
And they didn't get back up.
Nope.
Then, like, also, the sniper scene.
The sniper scene, the trench run where you're going from trench to trench. Yeah.
Yes. Steve murdered people with a shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
Those weren't warning shots. Those were straight up, hey, Germans, shotgun, shotgun, shotgun. Like, you're dead.
They weren't beanbags.
No, they were not.
No.
So, yeah, that's what I would say. Is I think it does deserve at least a few technical Oscars for sure. Director, I mean, again, it's gonna come down to how picky they were gonna be, but I think it was magnificently done. Mm-hmm. So I think it should get some kind of, even like a nomination to be nominated, I guess would be good. But it needs to be the forefront. But I mean, we have so much in this movie that needs to be recognized, other than just, you know, a leading lady and stuff. Like, it's such a good movie.
Yeah.
But whatever, you know, that's cool. I liked it. Oh, look, it's weather. Oh, God, 106. Jesus Christ. Don't go outside, people. It's hot. That is unpleasant at best.
Yeah.
News-wise, we saw a full trailer for Oats Studios Volume 1.
I still don't know what's going on. I like it.
Nope.
I like it a lot.
Mm-mm. No idea what's going on.
Yeah, the only thing we know is that it's three movies at this point.
We know it's at least three short films in it.
Yeah.
I know that for a fact.
But that's the only solid thing that we know.
And we at this point, we do know it's most likely going to be completely free to watch on YouTube and or Steam. Looks like both, which at this point, everybody can have access to both of those because Steam is free to sign up for, and so is YouTube. Actually, YouTube, you don't have to sign up for it. You literally just log, you just go to the website and press the button, and you don't have to log in for shit. So at least that's good because I think it's going to hit a broader audience that way. Not so much on Steam, people are going to get confused on how to get stuff on Steam, because to use Steam, you have to log in and make an use your email to make an account.
But I would at least think that you're targeting exactly the audience you want to see.
Definitely,
on Steam.
Yeah. But the article I was reading before we started recording was the fact that Neil Blomkamp, by the way, if you guys don't know what we're talking about, Neil Blomkamp has a studio called Oat Studios. We talked about it last week on the show, and I posted some stuff about it on the Facebook page you should be visiting and commenting on. That he has made this, so he started right after Chappie ended being made and all that fun stuff. So in 2015, they bought an old warehouse that used to be a place where they manufactured appliances. So right away, it's already a spooky place to be making stuff out of. And then him and 34 other people have been working on these things since then. And they're essentially going to do it for free, is what I'm trying to get at here. So you'll be able to have this content for free. And then he's going to be on Steam, and he's actually going to sell the use of the assets they use to make it. So let me break down what assets mean if you guys don't know what this is. So when you make visual effects, so you make a movie, it's an IP or intellectual property. So if someone makes a Spider-Man movie, they have to pay for the IP for it, right? You have to pay Disney now and things like that to make that. If a student comes out and makes that, they can only do it for no profit and no gain. They can't put it for anything but other than an assignment, but they can't even do that nowadays. You can't actually visually make that anymore. So what he's doing is he's going out and saying, hey, yes, I thought of this stuff. I thought of this world that these take place in, or worlds. Again, we don't know. Sounds like it's one, but whatever. We make these. We generate these tools. We make this intellectual property, this IP. Then we make the assets that we use to build these visual effects. So if you watch the Oats Studios Volume 1 trailer, you will see a lot of visual effects. Creatures, vehicles that definitely are not real. They are all digital. If there's any real on them, it's very little. They are actually going to sell the usage of those assets for people and filmmakers to make other movies, TV shows, and video games using those assets. Now, let me explain what this technically means. No, you will not see Neil Blomkamp's aliens that he makes. Now, I'm not talking about the movies. The alien creatures that he makes in these movies, these short films, you will not see them unless they want them directly in a video game or another movie. But you will see elements of how they were made and the usage of the assets that was made to use them or to make them in other things. That's what that means. He's giving people the ability to take all the hard work and effort they put into this just to better and move forward the science fiction and horror genre that they are in, which is fucking amazing. It's funny because, like, the way I was reading through that reminded me of reading through some of the stuff that like Elon Musk has talked about with like Tesla. If you guys don't know, Tesla Motors, his electric car company, developed the drivetrain, the engine, the batteries, everything that goes into this car. And then he is literally giving that away to people. So if you build cars and you want to use the same type of batteries that Elon Musk uses in the Tesla, not Elon Musk, that Tesla uses in their cars, he gives you the ability to manufacture those yourself. He gives you the blueprints. He says, this is how you do it. Nobody does that.
No.
He's literally, if Ford wanted to make a Tesla ripoff called the Fiesta, because it's an existing car already,
yeah,
they could do it. They could use the same almost everything. There's patent stuff that they have to do. Because there's patent secrets and they had to design stuff. But things like, they tell you how the drivetrain functions, so you then can build your own based on theirs. Yes, theirs has other stuff in it. You get to figure that out for yourselves. But if you want to use the same batteries that give 4 to close to 500 miles per charge, he's giving it to you. Neil Blomkamp's doing the exact same thing. He's making these spectacular-looking films. Yes, he has ideas in his head that form them. But the hardest part about making these is visual effects. That's what can make or break a movie nowadays, especially nowadays, because we're very unforgiving because we have master strokes like District 9.
Mm-hmm.
They're made for $30 million and looks fucking real. Yes, he worked with Weta, but not at the fucking prices like Lord of the Rings cost to make.
Right.
He's giving these people this stuff. Yes, you have to charge to use the assets, but like, dude, really? Like, nobody does that shit.
No.
ILM doesn't do it. They charge your ass for it.
Hell yeah.
You want to use the Willem scream? Good luck getting the money raised. By the way, if you don't know what that is the famous scream from Star Wars. I can't make the noise. But you know what I mean? That famous scream you always hear in the movies. Indiana Jones had it. A bunch of movies had it. That shit's trademarked, by the way, kids. That costs money to use. So yeah, I think that's super dope. When we get this, I don't fucking know. Everything I see says soonish. Soonish is a term used for we have no idea when it's going to come out. We think it's this year. We're not actually sure. They're nailing down because they could easily go and put it on YouTube right away and not have any problems. Because that's what YouTube's there for. But even if they put it on Steam, I'm going to guess it costs them money to put it on Steam.
I don't know.
I'm not sure how that works. Because it's free, Steam would most likely charge them to put it on there because they're not getting money from it. Hence the reason they sell the assets to make money for these. But I'm going to guess, this is just an educated guess, if it goes up on YouTube for free, there will be parts of it that say in the credits somewhere, or before or after it starts and ends, it will say something in the lines of, hey, if you are an aspiring movie maker or video game creator or TV maker and you want to use stuff that we did in this, head on over to Steam where you can buy all these things to make your own feature film or your own video game or own television program. Go and do it. But guess what? You just enjoyed 2 hours of super awesome sci-fi with that crazy, weird, globy orb thing and the guy with the no skin that was walking around.
Oh,
and that's right. As Joe pointed out, not Master Chief.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's an update on Oats Studios and a weirdish rant about free stuff. Bettering humanity by not having gasoline cars anymore. Yeah. Joe, got anything else?
Not that I can think of.
No, you don't. Yeah. So I'm going to call it. Wait, I'm not even going to let the producer give us the wrap-up signal. Fuck that guy. Or girl. It's 2017. I can't judge. Yeah, that's it for this week's episode of Comes Naturally. We are
Joe.
And I am Cody. And as usual, you fuckers just came naturally.